Healthful Living, Chapter 34. Rational Remedies for Disease. Efforts of Nature to Resist Disease. Nature alone possesses restorative powers. She alone can build up her exhausted energies and repair the injuries she has received by inattention to her fixed laws. Nature alone is the effectual restorer. Nature, to relieve herself of poisonous impurities, makes an effort to free the system, which effort produces fevers and what is termed disease. Nature bears abuse as long as she can without resisting, then she arouses, and makes a mighty effort to rid herself of the encumbrances and evil treatment she has suffered. Then come headache, chills, fevers, nervousness, paralysis, and other evils too numerous to mention. Nature is loath to give up her hold on life. She is unwilling to cease her struggle. Give nature a chance, and she will rally and again perform her part nobly and well. Nature was doing her best to rid the system of an accumulation of impurities, and could she have been left to herself, aided by the common blessings of heaven, such as pure air and pure water, a speedy and safe cure would have been effected. All the credit should be ascribed to nature's restorative power. Assistance we may render nature. Only seek to assist nature in her efforts, by removing every obstruction, and then leave her to recover the exhausted energies of the system. There are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Pure air and water, cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and a firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires work that the people do not appreciate. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, and clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all with but little expense. Keep the patient free from excitement, and every influence calculated to depress. Her attendants should be cheerful and hopeful. She should have a simple diet, and should be allowed plenty of pure, soft water to drink. Bathe frequently in pure, soft water, followed by gentle rubbing. Let the light and air be freely admitted into the room. She must have quiet and undisturbed rest. Water drinking. Water is the best liquid possible to cleanse the tissues. Drink some little time before or after the meal. Fast for one or two meals, and drink only pure, soft water. The loss of a meal or two will enable the overburdened system to overcome slight indispositions, and even graver difficulties may sometimes be overcome by this simple process. Their sallow skins indicate that they are bilious. Observe regular habits of rising early. Eat sparingly, thus relieving the system of unnecessary burden, and encourage cheerfulness. Take proper exercise in the open air, bathe frequently, and drink freely of pure, soft water. If they would become enlightened, and accustom themselves to outdoor exercise, and to air in their houses, summer and winter, and use soft water for drinking and bathing purposes, they would be comparatively well and happy, instead of dragging out a miserable existence. Bathing. Many have never experienced the beneficial effects of water, and are afraid to use one of heaven's greatest blessings. The use of water can accomplish but little if the patient does not feel the necessity of also strictly attending to his diet. Frequency of the bath. Persons in health should, by all means, bathe as often as twice a week. Those who are not in health have impurities of the blood. The skin needs to be carefully and thoroughly cleansed, that the pores may do their work in freeing the body from impurities. Therefore, feeble persons who are diseased surely need the advantages and blessings of bathing as often as twice a week, and frequently even more than this is positively necessary. Frequent bathing is very beneficial, especially at night just before retiring, or upon rising in the morning. Manner of giving the bath. A bath, properly taken, fortifies against cold, because the circulation is improved, for the blood is brought to the surface, and a more easy and regular flow of the blood through all the blood vessels is obtained. Reduce the feverish state of the system by a careful and intelligent application of water. If, in their fevered state, water had been given them to drink freely, and applications had also been made externally, long days and nights of suffering would have been saved, and many precious lives spared. The fire of fever seems consuming him. He longs for pure water to moisten the parched lips, to quench the raging thirst, and to cool the fevered brow. The blessed, heaven-sent water, skillfully applied, would quench the devouring flame. Twice a week she should take a general bath, as cool as will be agreeable, a little cooler every time, until the skin is toned up. It will take but a few moments to give the children a bath and to rub them until their bodies are in a glow. Effects of the bath. Whether a person is sick or well, respiration is more free and easy if bathing is practiced. By it, the muscles become more flexible, the body and mind are alike invigorated, the intellect is made brighter, and every faculty becomes livelier. The bath is a soother of the nerves. It promotes general perspiration, quickens the circulation, overcomes obstructions in the system, and acts beneficially on the kidneys and the urinary organs. Bathing helps the bowels, stomach, and liver, giving energy and new life to each. It also promotes digestion, and instead of the systems being weakened, it is strengthened. Instead of increasing the liability to cold, a bath, properly taken, fortifies against cold, because the circulation is improved, and the uterine organs, which are more or less congested, are relieved, for the blood is brought to the surface, and a more easy and regular flow of the blood through all the blood vessels is obtained. Nature, to relieve herself of poisonous impurities, makes an effort to free the system, which effort produces fevers and what is termed disease. But even then, if those who are afflicted would assist nature in her efforts by the use of pure, soft water, much suffering would be prevented. Sunlight. This is one of nature's most healing agents. If you would have your homes sweet and inviting, make them bright with air and sunshine, remove your heavy curtains, open the windows, throw back the blinds, and enjoy the rich sunlight, even if it be at the expense of the colors of your carpets. If the windows were freed from blinds and heavy curtains, and the air and sun permitted to enter freely the darkened rooms, there would be seen a change for the better in the mental and physical health of the children. The pure air would have an invigorating influence upon them, and the sun that carries healing in its beams would soothe and cheer, and make them happy, joyous, and healthy. The confined air of unventilated rooms meets us with sickening odors of mildew and mold, and the impurities exhaled from its inmates. The emanations from damp, moldy rooms and clothing are poisonous to the system. If all would appreciate the sunshine, and expose every article of clothing to its drying, purifying rays, mildew and mold would be prevented. This is the only way rooms can be kept from impurities. Every room in our dwellings should be daily thrown open to the healthful rays of the sun, and the purifying air should be invited in. This will be a preventive of disease. Exercise, and a free and abundant use of the air and sunlight, would give life and strength to the emaciated. The feeble one should press out into the sunshine as earnestly and naturally as do the shaded plants and vines. The pale and sickly grain blade that has struggled up out of the cold of early spring puts out the natural and healthy deep green after enjoying for a few days the health and life-giving rays of the sun. Go out into the light and warmth of the glorious sun, you pale and sickly ones, and share with vegetation its life-giving, health-dealing power. Relation of the mind to the body. But few realize the power the mind has over the body. The sympathy which exists between the mind and the body is very great. When one is affected, the other responds. The burden of sin, with its unrest and unsatisfied desires, lies at the very foundation of a large share of the maladies which the sinner suffers. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. Perhaps some living home trouble is, like a canker, eating to the very soul and weakening the life forces. Remorse for sin sometimes undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. Help for the body through the mind. Great wisdom is needed in order to cure the body through the mind. But few realize the power that the mind has over the body. A great deal of the sickness which afflicts humanity has its origin in the mind, and can only be cured by restoring the mind to health. There are very many more than we imagine who are sick mentally. To deal with men and women whose minds as well as bodies are diseased is nice work. Influence of the will. Thousands are sick and dying around us who might get well and live if they would, but their imagination holds them. They fear that they will be made worse if they labor to exercise, when this is just the change they need to make them well. Without this, they never can improve. They should exercise the power of the will, rise above their aches and debility, and engage in useful employment, and forget that they have aching backs, sides, lungs, and heads. I have met many who were really sufferers through their imagination. They lacked will power to rise above and combat disease of body and mind, and therefore they were held in suffering bondage. You have a determined will, which causes the mind to react upon the body, unbalancing the circulation, and producing congestion in certain organs, and you are sacrificing health to your feelings. And yet you are capable of controlling your imagination and overcoming these nervous attacks. The nerves control the vital action of every part of the system. If your mind is impressed and fixed that a bath will injure you, the mental impression is communicated to all the nerves of the body. The nerves control the circulation of the blood. Therefore, the blood is, through the impression of the mind, confined to the blood vessels, and the good effects of the bath are lost. All this is because the blood is prevented by the mind and will from flowing readily, and from coming to the surface to stimulate, arouse, and promote the circulation. For instance, you are impressed that if you bathe you will become chilly. The brain sends this intelligence to the nerves of the body, and the blood vessels, held in obedience to your will, cannot perform their office and cause a reaction after the bath. Let the mind become intelligent, and the will be placed on the Lord's side, and there will be a wonderful improvement in the physical health. But this can never be accomplished in mere human strength. Keep the power of the will awake, for the will, aroused and rightly directed, is a potent soother of the nerves. Bring to your aid the power of the will, which will resist cold, and will give energy to the nervous system. Cheerfulness productive of health. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit, is health to the body and strength to the soul. Nothing is so fruitful a cause of disease as depression, gloominess, and sadness. That which brings sickness of body and mind to nearly all is dissatisfied feelings and discontented repinings. Heart sickness makes many dyspeptics, for mental trouble has a paralyzing influence upon the digestive organs. The less the attention is called to the stomach after a meal, the better. If you are in constant fear that your food will hurt you, it most assuredly will. We should encourage a cheerful, hopeful, peaceful frame of mind, for our health depends upon our so doing. Cheerfulness and a clear conscience are better than drugs, and will be an effective agent in your restoration to health. Doing good a remedy for disease. You who are suffering with poor health, there is a remedy for you. If thou clothe the naked, and bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and deal thy bread to the hungry, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Doing good is an excellent remedy for disease. The consciousness of right doing is the best medicine for diseased bodies and minds. He who is at peace with God has secured the most important requisite to health. The blessing of the Lord is life to the receiver. The condition of the mind has much to do with the health of the physical system. If the mind is free and happy, under a consciousness of right doing and a sense of satisfaction in causing happiness to others, it will create a cheerfulness that will react upon the whole system, causing a freer circulation of the blood and a toning up of the entire body. Doing good is a work that benefits both giver and receiver. If you forget self in your interest for others, you gain a victory over your infirmities. The satisfaction you will realize in doing good will aid you greatly in the recovery of the healthy tone of the imagination. The pleasure of doing good animates the mind and vibrates through the whole body. The blessing of God is a healer, and those who are abundant in benefiting others will realize that wondrous blessing in their hearts and lives. Restorative power of the Spirit of God. The influence of the Spirit of God is the very best medicine for disease. Heaven is all health. The more deeply heavenly influences are realized, the more sure will be the recovery of the believing invalid. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. The religion of Christ, so far from being the cause of insanity, is one of its most effectual remedies, for it is a potent soother of the nerves. In 9 cases out of 10, the knowledge of a sin-pardoning Savior would make them better both in mind and body. Many carry a violated conscience, and can be reached only by the principles of Bible religion. A sore, sick heart, a discouraged mind, needs mild treatment, and it is through tender sympathy that this class of minds can be healed. The physician should first gain their confidence, and then point them to the all-healing physician. If their minds can be directed to the burden-bearer, and they can have faith that he will have an interest in them, the cure of their diseased bodies and minds will be sure. A person whose mind is quiet and satisfied in God is in the pathway to health. The assurance of God's approval will promote physical health. It fortifies the soul against doubt, perplexity, and excessive grief that so often sap the vital forces and induce nervous diseases of a most debilitating and distressing character. The Review and Herald, October 16, 1883. The exalting influence of the Spirit of God is the best restorative for the sick.